I'm one of your hosts, Zion of Flame.
And I'm Sherrod Regan.
Thanks for joining us today. We're going to be talking about Secret Wars, the huge event going on in Marvel Universe today. But before that, we wanted to do a quick rundown since we didn't actually get to have a full episode discussing Money in the Bank. We just wanted to quickly run it down and basically a little bit of a tribute to, one of my heroes, Dusty Rhodes. How do you feel about Dusty Rhodes?
I think I told you the story, or I wrote something about how I wasn't really exposed to Dusty Rhodes, the wrestler, as far as, like, his pre-WWE persona. So I never saw the Hard Times promo, before or when it aired, right after it aired or anything like that. I mean, I saw it way, way, way in the future. We're talking, 10 years after the fact is when I saw that for the first time. So a lot of his initial appeal was lost on me, but I still respected the character and the wrestler because of him being, who he was, how he was not, the most in-shape character.
As a little kid, when I watched wrestling as a little kid, mm-hmm. He had his WWF run, and I would run around at 4 or 5 years old, and I'd be like, funky like a monkey. And I thought Sapphire was the coolest goddamn thing on the face of the earth. I think I liked Sapphire more than I liked Dusty as a little kid.
Yeah, yeah, there was a lot of appeal. And again, I liked, the Atomic Elbow and, his moveset. Everything about him, I liked it. I just didn't know the whole history he had, his feud with the Horseman and Ric Flair. I didn't know anything about that when I was.
Yeah, it's one of those moments that sometimes happens when you have that crossover person that finally comes to the WWF, mm-hmm. and you're like, wait, what do you mean? What are you talking about? World championships?
Right.
And then you're like, wait, Dusty Rhodes was legit?
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like, sort of like what happens nowadays when, you get like your Finn Balor's and your Jane O'Brien's and, they're these world elite wrestlers, athletes that you have no idea, who they are unless you were following them, you were privy to other federations.
Yeah. But Dusty, he just had a magnetism and everything, and he had a way of talking that really made you enjoy. I mean, I never would have thought that 265 pounds of blue-eyed soul could have captivated the nation.
Oof. Don't do this to me. That promo, that video package.
I love that video package. That promo was amazing.
I think the most...
He had a way of speaking, from the heart, you always believe that he was saying it because he actually believed it. And, I mean, a lot of it he was, selling. Because, yeah. I mean, Paul Heyman told that amazing story where he went out there and he thought he gave the best promo of all time. And Dusty looked at him and he said, but what did you sell?
Yeah.
Everything. Dusty could sell. These kids today, they don't sell.
And I think, there's something to be said about, the format of everything, how many people in the WWE nowadays are actually told, go out there and sell, go out there and sell this match, this feud, this pay-per-view without a script. Because, Chris Jericho has been one of those people that have kind of given us an insight as to how it works, where, they give you, a full script and you have to memorize a lot. There's not a lot of room for you to just do your own thing. I think only people Bray Wyatt and Paul Heyman and maybe Cena and, a couple of people like that have more freedom with what they can say. Mm-hmm. But I think Dusty, we remember him because he comes from the era where, you could just be told, hey, go out there, do a promo. And Dusty was just really, really good at delivering a promo.
Yeah, fantastic. And I mean, I think he knew when to be on, because there's not really many bad video sets of him talking and it not being a great promo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure he had a couple bad promos and everything when he was doing, like, you know, touring across the nation and everything.
Oh, absolutely.
But, man, when it was on, it was on. And Dusty Rhodes could bring in some fandom and everything. But, yeah, I mean, I was a fan of Goldust. Still am, actually. And I'm sure everyone knows I'm a monstrous fan of Cody Rhodes, Stardust. I was really sad just to hear that and everything. It actually, like, brought me down because, I mean, like, I don't want to, like, trash, like, Christopher Lee or anything like that. Like, mm-hmm. I love Christopher Lee as an actor. And
oh, yeah, it happened the same day. Well, the news
everyone was talking about Christopher Lee, yeah. Like, all in the news and everything, and then, like, random, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, you know, it's sad, but, you know, he lived a really long life and everything.
Yeah.
And everything. And then I heard Dusty Rhodes, and I was, like, I literally, like, tinged a little bit, and I was like, the dream? Like,
yeah. And I remember the thing about Christopher Lee, too, was that he had died on Sunday, but they announced his death on, like, that Thursday. That's not what it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had died fairly, like, he had died, like, I'm pretty sure it was that Sunday or that Monday of that week. They waited to announce his death because I guess they didn't, you know, they wanted to give the family time to grieve, you know, like, the whole thing. Not kind of like, because when Dusty Rhodes died, like, I mean, we found out when, like, Triple H found out, you know, like, when the big heads of, you know, Stanford found out. So I think that's why it hit us as hard as well, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah. They were pretty instantaneous. And I mean, WWE, they're, I think just because they're such a company built around the fans, and I mean, you know, some people will talk about, you know, that they don't really follow the fans and everything, and I mean, it's a pretty just argument on certain things, but when it comes to kind of letting you know what's going on, they really treat the fandom as, like, part of their universe, as they like,
yeah.
They like to say. So, I mean, it pretty much immediately goes out type thing, and I mean, Dusty was so close and, like, so influential to NXT and everything, and I think it just confused me because he was looking so good and so healthy every single time he would do a promo. Like, he'd lost so much weight and everything, but
yeah, there was a post, someone linked, or they correlated his death to, apparently he was supposed to be in a match not long ago. It was when they were doing the Cody Rhodes Stardust thing. Or, sorry, Goldust Stardust thing. And he was gonna get involved, and apparently he was gonna have a segment in the ring, like, with his kids. And they found something, like, the rumor is that they found something, and they're like, we don't want you to go to the ring. Like, we'd rather you didn't. And he was like, okay, and that's kinda like why that died off the way it did, because there was supposed to be more involvement from Dusty Rhodes, and there wasn't. And, you know, when this happened, a lot of people were bringing up, like, that was, like, a news article from a couple of months back that he was supposed to be involved physically, and he wasn't. Like, something, there was one reason that he was not allowed to go into the ring, and I don't know if it was a creative reason or if it was a medical reason, but it definitely happened. Like, it's recorded that it definitely happened.
Wow.
So something was wrong with him, like, fairly early this year. Because that was, when was the Stardust Goldust story?
That was
like February, right? Yep. Yeah, exactly. So there is that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the most, I guess, it's both haunting and, like, hopeful, I guess, is that at the end of that video package that they keep airing is him standing on the NXT ring, and he tells, what's that line? Happy trails, and I'll see you again, something like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the context of that is, but him recording that on an NXT ring, I don't know, it felt very like, see you on the next side, and I don't know if that was his intention when he cut that promo video, but I was like, oh, like, I don't know how I feel about this, like... Like, did he know when he recorded that? Because, I mean, it kind of like the Warrior thing, when Warrior died. Like, when he did that promo on Monday night, like, that was a very final words promo. You know, that wasn't like a regular Warrior promo. That was a very like, this are my final words promo. So I don't know how I feel about all these wrestlers like having like a final promo moment. Like I'm glad.
Promos.
What's that?
Prophetic promos.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's kind of scary. Like scares me a little hearing that.
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking with my friend and basically I made a joke comparison that Dusty Rhodes was the Goku of WWE. Like he was the man who just went out there. He was a common guy, wanted to go out there and fight.
Yeah.
Depending on the spirit of others around him to support him so that he could get through against the big villain type thing. He was all about that spirit bomb. And then he's like, well, what if he was a Marvel Comics character? And I thought about it. And I think that the ever-loving blue-eyed Thing is the closest comparison there. I mean, like, Thing always has those, like, random moments where he's like, oh, my sweet Aunt Petunia and everything. So,
oh, yeah, he does. He does kind of have those moments.
Just kind of, like, breaks out into promo, and he was never, you know, the prettiest guy. He was never the, you know, handsomest guy or anything, but brother, the Thing is bad. He knows he's bad.
I like that. Yeah, never thought about the Thing like that. Now, and he also kind of wears like, you know.
At the exact same time, late 70s, the Thing was the most popular character in Marvel Comics, so.
Was he really?
Yep. Oh.
Huh.
Yeah, Thing was so popular that he got his own cartoon show, like, before any other Marvel character.
You know what? I remember there being a The Thing cartoon. I actually do remember that. Yeah. It wasn't Fantastic Four, it was. It was just the thing.
They only had the rights to the Thing, but instead of having his own, just being the Thing and like having the origin of like cosmic rays and everything, they gave him magic rings and he would go Thing ring, do your thing, and he would turn into the Thing, and it was terrible.
Yeah, love that. Trash.
Yeah, indeed. But you know, they opened with the tribute to Dusty Rhodes for Money in the Bank. And in the booking, you kind of think that there had to be some kind of wink because so many of these matches involved the Dusty finish.
Yeah.
And, for those who aren't, you know, super involved in wrestling lingo, the Dusty finish is basically when the good guy should basically win by all means and is screwed out of it in screwy ways, whether it be like a run-in or reversing the decision and everything. Like, the good guy never gets to keep his victory. It's always stolen away at the last second when he should have had it. And that always happened to Dusty against, like, the Four Horsemen and stuff like that. So we opened, we had the Money in the Bank ladder match. So, who won that match, Regan?
Which one?
Money in the Bank.
Oh, Money in the Bank, before I completely shit on this match, great lineup. Neville, Roman Reigns, Randy Orton, Kofi Kingston, Kane, Dolph Ziggler, Sheamus. Like, there's nothing wrong with this lineup, right? Sheamus wins it. Why? You know?
Like, basically telegraphing that, like, Seth Rollins
is eventually going
to
lose.
Isn't going to have the title anymore because
you're
not going to have bad guy Sheamus go against, you know, a bad guy champion.
Yeah, unless Seth Rollins has, like, some epic face turn at some point, but I don't see that.
Entire authority face. You're like, wait, what?
No, like Neville should have won it. Roman Reigns should have won it. Randy Orton, he's had plenty of world titles. Like, he doesn't
need Randy Orton's a made man. He doesn't need
another title. Exactly. Kofi Kingston, assuming that the New Day were still champions, should have had it. Kane doesn't need this. Ziggler. Holy hell, can Ziggler get a break in this company?
Yeah. I feel like Ziggler has already been Mr. Money in the Bank, though.
He has, he was.
You look at this and you're like, Ziggler's been Money in the Bank. Kane has been champion. Randy Orton's been Money in the Bank and champion. Like, all three of them, you can just pretty much say, like, they don't need to win this.
Yeah, which is fair.
I mean, I look at it, and I'm like, I was thinking about the Battleground pay-per-view coming up and the fact that Seth Rollins is going to have to fight Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
And all I could think was, oh, man, Brock Lesnar, he's going to beat Seth Rollins, he's going to be the champion, and then Roman Reigns is going to come out, and he's going to say, I'm going to use this money in the bank, and I'm going to fight you one-on-one at SummerSlam and everything, and, like, call his shot, and, like, really, like, build up and have a great thing. Right. And I was sitting about that, and I'm like, yeah, that would be so cool, that would be great. And then, like, a moment later, I was like, oh, wait, Roman didn't win the goddamn match. I'm mentally thinking about, like, what could happen, and I'd completely forgotten Sheamus won because it's such a shitty decision that Sheamus win it.
It was a really bad, like, I still don't.
Like, Neville winning it, you could have done the Daniel Bryan route and everything, like,
have underdog.
Nice guy, like, really pushing up. Kofi, you could have made the New Day into a monstrously annoying Freebird team.
Freebird, yeah.
And I think in our last episode, I kind of discussed some of the idea behind if Kofi had won it. And then Roman, I just pretty much laid down the best option that they could have gone with. With Sheamus, I'm not really sure what they're going to do. I'm thinking they're banking on his role as Rocksteady in the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie as being like a catapult for him, like to really have him just go in there and everything. But I don't know how they would get the correlation for that.
Yeah.
I mean, Stephen Amell is going to be Casey Jones, so like would they change the Stardust match against Stephen Amell to Sheamus versus Stephen Amell or something? Like I'm not really sure if they would like fully jump into that. But,
yeah, and Sheamus, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love him as a heel. I like him way more as a heel than I do as a face. I don't understand Sheamus as a face. Like, his everything screams heel.
Sheamus as a heel, though, being a bully that just wants to trash people and beat the crap out of him, doesn't make sense for him to be holding something that, like, grants him an opportunity, like, a cheap shot. Like, he wants to punish you, not to just cash in.
True.
And maybe that's the story that they'll be telling if, like, he doesn't win, that, like, he'll have the every opportunity to get the pin, but he goes for, like, the second rope kick or something. But, yeah, Dusty finish involved in this one. Roman Reigns would have won it. Bray Wyatt comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Costs him the match.
To start a feud that I guess have some roots with the whole Shield thing, but I mean, other than that, that's it.
Like the Shield thing, screw that. And I mean the oh, your best friend is Dean Ambrose, and my last feud before Taker was Dean Ambrose. Like,
yeah,
it's the only thing I could understand in it. Yeah. But I don't like it because Roman needs this win. But you know who doesn't need to lose again? Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt has, I'm telling you, like, I told you a while ago that Bray Wyatt was like, you know, like the new Mick Foley. Like, it certainly feels like it.
I like that Bray Wyatt, like, beat Ryback's ass in their feud, won the feud, and then Ryback's Intercontinental Champion and Bray Wyatt's just twiddling his thumbs.
Yeah.
Next match, Nikki Bella versus Paige. This is the, fifth title match between these two, and the 196th match between them, like, in the last year?
Since Paige came to the main roster.
Just, ugh.
Like, and it's kind of sad because, like, Paige, you know, when she was in NXT, great matches that she had. Like, I still think the most eye-opening match in NXT, because still is, like, when I still go back and watch it, is Paige versus Emma for the title.
God, you talk about this match all the time.
Eye-opening match.
Like this is your match. Like, you talk about Paige versus Emma. I don't know how many times you've had conversations where you're like, wait, all right,
talking about Emma with all the bubbles and shit. Did you watch her in NXT?
Yeah.
Not Paige. Like,
because so I think that was the first.
Brought up this match. I love it.
Because I think this was the first, like, NXT special. I'm pretty sure it was.
Oh,
and I remember, and I just remember being, like floored by the way their feud was presented. The way Paige was presented as this, like, just pure evil heel. Like, you know, she wanted, like, just to annihilate Emma. And Emma, you know, we're used to the bubbles. But Emma, and now, you know, she's got the heel thing going on. Yeah. Like, she came across as, like, a very strong contender for the women's title. Like, not the Divas title. She came strong for, like, a woman's title. And Paige, you know, she comes to the main roster, and can you name a good feud that Paige has had since she's come to the main roster?
With AJ is really good.
Yeah, but that's it. We're talking, like, what, three matches from a full year?
Oh, I'm not arguing.
Yeah, yeah, like that.
But, I mean, like, Paige's only feud has been
the Bellas.
AJ and the Bellas.
Yeah.
Like, a little bit with Naomi, but they keep fucking throwing the Bellas in there. Mm-hmm. Like, can I have a freaking Divas feud that's, like, not focused on the belt? Like, I wouldn't give a shit if it was a good feud that neither one of them was champ. Like, let freaking Nikki Bella beat the shit out of Cameron on a pay-per-view and, like, just enhancement match, just beat the shit out of her. Or, and I mean, I'm not picking on Cameron, you know, Cameron, freaking Alicia Fox, like, whoever, and I love Alicia Fox, so you know I'm not trashing her, and everything. Like, have Nikki Bella as champion just, like, squash the shit out of one of them while, you know, Paige and Naomi, like, finish off a solid non-title feud.
I'm
fine with that, but, like, they started to have a feud, and then every 10 seconds, like, Nikki Bella or Brie Bella would come out and get involved in their feud, and then you're sitting there and you're like, the face heel dynamics kept, like, twisting around them. Like, the only one who stayed consistently face was Paige, and then the other two just kept, like, flopping. It was really weird.
Yeah.
With that whole thing going on. So, I mean, that was my problem with the feud in general. But I'm done with this matchup between them, and I'm perplexed that they got 11 minutes of time. We've been waiting for the Divas to get some time, and it was a decent match. I mean, it wasn't really tight, because with 15 minutes, Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch destroyed the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And don't do that when you haven't watched the show.
I've seen the 90s OVA. I think I'm good.
Nope.
Nope. No sell.
but I want to see Nikki Bella fight somebody new. Not Naomi,
yeah.
Not Paige, somebody new. And I don't care if that's an underutilized diva that's already on the main roster, or if they bring someone up. But if they bring someone up, they got to bring them up big. But they can't do the title on the first night thing again for Sasha or Charlotte or Bayley or whoever they bring up, because that's been done with Paige. Like, you got to have them come in like Kevin Owens and, like, just, like, trash her and trash Brie at the same time when Brie tries to come in for the save and be all like, hey, I'm coming, and then just leave, and then, like, Nikki and Brie, you're doing something again, then they just come in, they just trash them, and you're like, hey, coming, and then and everything. I would love for a build like that, where they just keep coming in and just beating the shit out of the Bellas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, and again, like, the having the twin magic, or whatever the hell it's called, like, it's been silly. I like how they kind of explained how they were getting away with it with the, when, what was it, Brie came, did the roll-up, or attempted to do the roll-up, Paige countered, actually, and pinned her, so then, you know, technically Paige won, hence the dusty finish.
Mm-hmm.
Bree's sitting there explaining to the referee, hey, I'm not Nikki, like, I'm actually Bree, and, you know, she pulls out, like,
padding
stuffing.
Padding
the bra. Yeah, padding on the bra.
I don't
and,
have
like,
the fake one.
Yeah, like, I don't have the fake boobs, and look, my hair is kind of blondish, like, or darker, right? Like,
oh, she's the blonder one.
Is she the blonder one? I don't waste time with them. No. But... like, not a bad match, but I'm just tired of it. Like, I really am. I think I'm just tired of seeing it.
Mm-hmm. No, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
What else I'm tired of seeing?
Big Show? No.
Big Show versus Ryback, really.
Like, I'm tired of Big Show versus blank.
I like the Big Show. Like, I like him going in there and, like, doing stuff, but I need him to fight someone he's never fought before to really care.
Good
like,
luck.
There's no point, because Big Show's not going to win the Intercontinental Championship, and right. We already know Ryback can lift him, so there's no point to get out of that. And then you have a disqualification, and, like, we need to have the rematch, and they're like, hey, throw in The Miz. Like, I pray to Connie that freaking Miz wins. Like, if Miz wins, then we can kind of go back and, like, relaunch this, like, Hollywood star, super badass, like, I should be the Intercontinental Championship. Miz could do a great heel Intercontinental Championship run.
Like, he's already done a great heel champion run.
Yeah,
like,
world champion run and everything. Like, Miz is a guy who could be a legit champion, and I don't really understand why Miz isn't more regularly featured.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he came back, and then after he lost the title, and after the, after Damian Sandow left him, and they did the, like, big blow-off match right after WrestleMania, he kind of disappeared for a while.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why, if he's shooting, like, the Marine 5 or what, but... Yeah, I don't know why he disappeared, but yeah, Big Show versus Ryback is pointless. John Cena versus Kevin Owens, great match.
The match of the night.
Nope.
No? You don't think that's the match of the night?
Disagree.
Is it because John Cena won?
No, not. I'm not that whiny. And I need to remind you. I am officially announcing. The feud is over. I love John Cena again, by the way. And it's not because he won.
What do you mean?
I don't care about him beating Rusev anymore.
Oh, like because of the great matches that he's given us with Owens?
Well, not just Owens, but just I am won back by him doing new moves and everything.
Yes.
He's doing new things like almost every single match. And I really like the John Cena Open Challenge. And the Kevin Owens' feud has really revitalized him. But I'm back to being a John Cena fan, so I'm not going to be that trendy guy anymore. I only stay mad at him for like 3 month stints anyway. So, I mean,
yeah, like you were
always
salty at him.
Cena, like.
Yeah. You were salty, so salty at WrestleMania. Like
because it's that's such a shitty thing, like, I always want him to do the big job that would be a life changer, that would be the Brock beats Taker moment type thing.
Right.
And he never does and everything.
But
I mean,
is that really his
comeback.
Fault?
But I'm confused why they're fighting again at Battleground. They should have taken a pause and held the final match for SummerSlam.
Yes.
Because I don't really want Owens versus Cena 4. I mean, I don't want Owens versus Cena 4. 3
yeah, before,
is
but
more
before,
than enough.
Before we go into that future, like we have to, like, figure something out here. Before we talk about the last two matches of the card. Kevin Owens, John Cena. Their next match is for the U.S. title, correct?
Oh, is that announced?
Yes. Like, their battleground is for the U.S. title.
Oh, then he's taking it.
Kevin Owens is fighting for the NXT title against... Finn Balor, July 4th.
Butt ass early in the morning.
but as early in the morning.
Fucking 4 a.m. or something like that?
Well, you know, like, freaking, like, 9 p.m. Yeah, in Japan, but, okay, so well, here's what I want.
Main event time in Japan.
Hold on. Calm down.
No,
so,
I'm angry.
Does Kevin Owens lose the NXT title and then goes to the main roster as the U.S. champ by winning against John Cena at Battleground?
But how...
Is that what's going to happen?
I think it is, and then they can have John Cena's rematch and everything, causing Owens Cena 4. Mm-hmm. I just would have rather he lost it on July 4th and then, like, didn't fight Cena at Battleground and then finally had the big thing, like, with a longer build-up at SummerSlam.
Right.
To take his belt.
But that's not happening, though. Like, we already know this match is happening. Like, do you think he wins the U.S. Championship?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay.
Because he is... Because they've been building Finn Balor as, like... I mean, the way they're building him almost reminds me of, like, the old video packages for, like, Shawn Michaels and Randy Orton. Like, you know, like, I've been doing this for all my life. You know, like, that whole bit before they won a big title.
Finn
like,
Balor is the robot who learns to be a human. And the human who became a demon.
Nice.
And don't act like that Finn Balor Halloween costume. It's not going to be the meme for this episode.
I was going to say, face.
It's going to be the meme for this episode.
I was hoping it was going to be a Marvel one, because yes, we're going to be talking about Marvel today, but that
Finn
might win.
Finn Balor robot should be a Marvel character. I would
the demon.
Every issue
so,
of that thing. Like...
So, spoiler alert, Cena beat Owens. Next match, do we even want to talk about this tag match? Because I really, bad taste in my mouth still from it.
The Primetime Players squashed the New Day, who
squashed.
Did not have Kofi Kingston come out alongside of them. Neither did the New Day support Kofi Kingston in the Money in the Bank match. None of it made sense. I like the Primetime Players, though. I think they're pretty funny. So maybe
great tag team, but what the fuck?
And then, match of the night, unquestionably,
nice.
Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose in the ladder match for the World Championship. I heard somebody shit on this, going, well, we already had a ladder match early in the night, and they immediately grabbed the ladders in the Money in the Bank match and started going at it. So what do they do in the main event? They open with a 10-minute wrestling match? I'm like, fucking wrestling show.
Yeah.
They should wrestle a little bit before they run to the fucking ladders. Like,
yeah. And I think
logically, if I was in a fight and they're like, hey, you can hit that guy with a ladder, I would push that guy, run, grab a ladder, and beat the fuck out of him with it.
There's something called a crescendo.
Yeah. Like. It's like, hey, they're wrestlers. They should wrestle a little
bit. Yeah, and I mean, there's it's something JR has always talked about, and something that a lot of old school wrestlers have talked about, where just because it's a match that has no rules, quote unquote, because a ladder match is pretty like lawless, right? Like the only rule is that you have to get up there, you know, like grab the title. Other than that, I mean, chairs, you know, table spots, outside interference, like, there's no real rule in a ladder match.
Why I never understood the concept of the TLC match, that they're all like, there's tables, ladders, and chairs, and I'm like,
yeah.
In any ladder match, they can use the table in it.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's just more of a, like, TLC is only famous because of the people who made it famous. Like, that match wouldn't exist if it wasn't because the three tag teams involved in it had made that famous.
none of those three made TLC famous. Those three did a TLC match that was called a triangle ladder match because they couldn't think of it. Mick Foley made TLC famous when he said tables and ladders and chairs. Oh, my.
Oh, my. But, yeah. Suddenly
went to Oz.
Great match. I mean, 35 minutes long, you know, longest match of the night.
5 minutes, and they went balls out the entire time. Like,
yeah.
Those two were going at it. I was sitting there, and I looked over at the thing, and I was like, the match is starting at 7:15. Like,
yeah.
and I was like, there's gonna be a cash in. Like, they're
right, yeah.
There's like, no you're question. Thinking, like, there's gonna be cashing in the same night. There's no way there's going to be on Money in the Bank a 40-minute main event. And there sure as hell was. It was amazing.
Yeah, because that 35 minutes is the actual match.
And you got a great build-up of, you know, that promo when Triple H was like, show them.
Yeah.
Show them. And then he went out there, and Seth proved it. He said, I can do it. I don't want JMJ. I don't want Kane. I don't want Trips. I don't want Steph. I don't need anybody coming out to help me. One-on-one, I'm going to do this.
Which is really strange because, like, I could understand if, like, if this was a character that was going to become a tweener. But this is, like, a heel. This is a straight-up heel doing this. And he almost comes out looking like the face.
It's only because it makes him begging for the help to come back look that much better when the Beast comes into town.
True, true. Like, long-term booking makes this better.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I loved every bit of this match.
Yeah.
I really...
How did you like... I know really you hate the slingshot.
It would have benefited greatly had Seth Rollins... If Seth Rollins were using the pedigree but still had the
curb stomp,
the curb stomp in his arsenal, like that was still his finisher, but like sometimes he uses the pedigree, I would be much happier. Like I just don't get it. Like you can tell me some kid somewhere may have done the curb stomp emulating Seth Rollins and they put a stop to it, and I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure some kid somewhere put another kid's fucking face
in a pedigree, yeah.
And, like, pedigreed the fuck out of him. And
yeah, I don't know why
they could. That hurt a fuck lot more.
Yeah.
Like, pedigree, that looks like you are in such a goddamn helpless situation.
Pedigree does look like murder. Like straight up. Especially the old pedigree.
You could kill somebody with
Remember... Remember
you're talking about back when Shawn Michaels would, like, push down on their body, like, as
they did it? Well, not only that, but remember when Triple H would keep the hook?
Like, the entire way?
Yeah, whole way, because nowadays he lets go of the arms and, you know, like, pushes on their back, you know, like, signaling them or whatever.
Yeah.
But back in the day, he would just hold them the whole way down, which meant, you know, like, they had to trust him.
Yeah.
So... You know what? I would like at some point, if the curb stomp comes back, I would like it to be the lead up to the pedigree. Like, I think that move, like, because I think at this point Seth Rollins has, like, earned the pedigree. Like, that's his now.
I don't know. I think he should do the spear, because he's the new Edge.
Now, see, I get it. Yeah, I get that, but I like that he's
using the pedigree. I'm not kidding. He would have horrible spear. His spear would almost be as bad as Edge's. Like.
Or as bad as, like, the initial Roman Reigns spears.
Roman Reigns actually has a good fucking spear.
Yeah, now he does, but remember in the beginning? Like, they
acted like much NXT when it was a show. I didn't watch that shit.
Mark. No, but his was actually really bad at the beginning. Like, it wasn't until... I remember when he did that.
Dude,
like,
I thought Roman Reigns was, like, the trash member of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a long time. It honestly wasn't until, like, Royal...
It was kind of like the trash one.
It wasn't until, like, Royal Rumble. Where Batista won it, and everybody was like, we want Roman Reigns.
Yeah, yeah.
That I was like, yeah, Roman Reigns is pretty good. I kind of get why these people are about it. And then, like, the betrayal and the whole build-up, and I was like, oh, he's doing wacky promos, but God, his ring work is getting good. And everything.
And then
like, as everyone grew to hate him, I was like, nah, like, you gotta look into this. Like, Roman laughed at the Beast. The Roman hate. It's coming back, and I don't get it. But that's life.
Well, But the finish.
I love that finish.
Yeah, I love the finish. I love that. Again, Dean Ambrose still coming out strong. It's one of those things where I've heard JR say it. I've heard Gorilla Monsoon. What am I saying? what's that old? King, I think, has said it. Jericho, Rock, all those. Oh, Stone Cold. Stone Cold has said it. And everyone believes that both of the people involved in a match can win it. Like, either of them can win it. It's a good match. Dean Ambrose came out of this looking like he could have beaten Seth Rollins easily. Shame goes the other way. Like, anyone could have had this match. And at the end, he almost did. Like, I mean, he only lost it by what, like, an inch?
It was the Goku Tien Martial Arts Championship.
Oh, nice. Like,
full finish. Like,
very nice.
Both men falling at the ground. You know, certain circumstances allow one to hit me or the other. Rests that championship out, becomes champion. Wins by an inch.
Yeah, barely.
Amazing.
So I like that. Like I said, though, the whole paper, like, as a whole, the pay-per-view was kind of weak. As a whole.
Yeah.
But there were two really good matches.
Worth $9.99? Yeah. Worth $49.99? No. No,
God no. But then again, like, in this day and age, if you're paying full price for a WWE pay-per-view, like, I question your decisions in life. All of them. Like,
every decision you have ever.
Yeah, like, every single.
You're like, you've had turkey and brie for lunch?
Yeah.
I don't agree with
anything,
that.
Anything you have done in the past, the present, the future, like, everything, I question.
But, you know, Money in the Bank's over because everything ends. You, me, all of it. Everything ends. But you know what we need to figure out?
What's that?
How to keep from losing. Secret Wars is here. And all is doom.
There's only Secret Wars.
There is only Battle World.
What is happening in the Marvel Universe right now?
What isn't happening
in the Marvel
Universe right now? Oh, man. We went from having two universes. Well, we went from having infinite universes, and then all of those died off-panel. Like, maybe five we actually got to see.
Yeah, we've seen a couple of them that we didn't actually care about, actually.
Because they observed, you know, a universe, you know, blowing up, and, you know, the Avengers Illuminati actually went to a planet and blew it up and everything, and it caused big chaos and hatred, you know, of Namor, because he was the one who actually, you know,
pulled the trigger.
As you said, had the guts to pull the trigger type thing.
Yeah.
And everyone else was like, no, we felt bad about it. You shouldn't have done it, or something.
So we would have died, you know that, right?
You know what I mean? And Namor's like, hey, everything dies, right, Reed? Huh? Huh? I still want to fuck your wife. But yeah, they had that whole set, and then we're looking into it. So infinite universes, they all die very, very quickly. We're down to just two universes. Even those die. Now we have, like, 20 universes again.
Yeah.
Because they're all in one.
Yeah. So basically, the basic gist of the whole Secret Wars Marvel event is this. Marvel has had way too many alternate universes throughout their long-storied comic book, like, history, right? Earth 616 and... I don't know. Do we know why Earth 616 is the main Earth and why it has that silly number? Do we know the reason for that?
Or is it like the reason for that?
What is that?
So Earth 616 earned that distinction and number in Captain Britain. Captain Britain was a comic book series in the I want to say 80s. It might have been late 70s, and it was written by, you know, legend Alan Moore, man who wrote Watchmen, B for Vendetta, storied run on Swamp Thing,
and he had this tremendous run on Captain Britain, in which it's revealed that Captain Britain, not only does he have the powers that as long as he, like, believes in himself, he's basically Superman.
Okay.
He is basically kind of like a multiversal cop. So Marvel definitely followed DC's suit on this. Like, DC did it first in this aspect, but they went to the multiverse bandwagon, in which there are, you know, all these parallel universes where there are super similar things, and some of them are, like, exactly the same, but, like, one thing, or, like, all the heroes are black in this universe, or, you know, the good guys are bad guys in this universe.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, type thing.
Like Bizarro Land, basically.
Yeah, Bizarro Land and everything. And then Marvel was like, you know, we could be really wacky with this. And it's like, oh, they're all vampires in this world. This is a world of zombies.
And Spider Pig. Yeah, no.
Everyone's animals.
Yeah.
Peter Porker and Miles Moreham. But they did all these, you know, spin-offs and everything, and they said, like, every what-if that we tell. And back then, Marvel did a what-if all the time. Like there was a what-if issue for everything. Now it's, like, occasionally they do a what-if, and it's, like, long. Like, they would just do a one-shot what-if, and it's like, oh, what if, you know, Peter Parker didn't marry Mary Jane, or what if Jane Foster, you know, had the power of Thor, and you're like, wait, what if from the 70s are becoming canon? but...
Basically.
Pretty much. But you're looking at these, and you basically see all these universes, and he pulled a number out of a hat in the Captain Britain storyline, and said, Marvel Universe is 616, where he just picked a number, and 616 stuck.
That's pretty random, but I like it. I like how
he
random...
Said there's an infinite number of universes, ours is the 616.
Yeah.
The real, like, world is, you know, 1280 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, like...
The universe is 1610.
Like, yeah, like, where me and you live, it's, yeah, like, I love that even, like, our world in the Marvel, like, lore... Is not even number one. Like,
yeah. You know what I don't get, though?
What's that?
So, Marvel told us in their official handbook that there is a universe in the Marvel multiverse that is our world.
Right.
Our exact world.
Yes.
And then they destroyed every universe in Secret Wars.
Right.
So are we all dead?
Yeah, like, the assumption is that we have died.
Did Marvel kill me? Because they're killing me right now with this,
like,
fucking wait for the next issue of Secret Wars.
Yeah. Yeah, the, yeah, so basically, you know, now that we know that story, so Earth 616 and Ultimate Earth, which is basically the other, the main, like, it's basically the secondary main universe for Marvel. That's where Miles Morales is at.
The other universe of Marvel's that's had more than 100 issues dedicated to it.
Yeah. Like, it's had a continuity that has gone, I would say that the Ultimate Universe is as important as 616, and as important as, say, like, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, those are, like, the three most important universes right now, I would say, from Marvel. And Marvel just decided, hey, we're just going to destroy everything. So they had this long, long story. And I mean long, because they've been...
44 issues of Avengers, 34 issues of New Avengers.
Yeah, and before that, because I was just reading and I was telling you before we started recording, before that they had the Age of Ultron event. Where they hinted that the events of Age of Ultron, not the movie, the actual comic event, where Wolverine kept going back to, you know, kill Hank Pym, eventually came and bit them in the ass because they destroyed the fabric of reality.
Which was the greatest and everything. You gotta go back in time and kill Hank Pym so he doesn't make Ultron. Alright, I killed Hank Pym. No Ultron, magic went crazy.
Yeah, like the age of LeFay.
Don't kill Hank Pym. Okay? And he's like, hey, Bub, other me. Don't kill him. But I want to kill him. Don't kill him. Go back. Oh, Ultron's still killing everybody. Alright, go back again. Tell Hank Pym, don't build the robot. Hank Pym got angry and he made the robot worse and he probably beat his wife. Okay. One more time. At this point, there's like 50 Wolverines in the fucking room, apparently. Like, and he's like, all right, you're going to tell him to build him, but build him with a code that he can shut him down at any time. But we have to make him forget that he has that code so he doesn't use it until we need him to know about it. So we got to remind him in 2015. Do it. And then they do that, and then they come back, and they beat Ultron, they shut him down, and you see an alternate future Susan, who still exists, because if you change the future, it doesn't erase that person from existence. Just like Trunks never was erased from existence after, you know, they beat the androids and Cell type thing. And, I'm not needed here anymore. Ooh, kind of thing. Because it's an alternate timeline, an alternate universe that still exists type thing. So she's still there, and they're on the rooftop, and they're like, hey, good job back there. It's like, it was a good job, wasn't it? And then all of a sudden the universe breaks, and you're just sitting there, and you're like, what just happened? It shatters. You see, like, Galactus was just, like, strolling through space, eating old planets and everything. All of a sudden, he's in the Ultimate Universe. He doesn't know how he fucking got there.
Yeah.
You've got freaking Angela, like, jumps from Image to freaking Marvel, like...
Yeah, it wasn't the Galactus, like, an event in the Ultimate Universe, like, when that... Again, like, this is, like, the good thing about Marvel. Like, when something happens in their main continuity and it affects, like, another universe or whatever, like, their other universes are seeing this and you're reading about it like, oh, shit, like, what just happened? Galactus just appeared.
Yeah.
Like, Miles Morales...
Man.
Like, Miles Morales is just strolling around New York and there's a Galactus. Like,
why is there a purple dude eating planets?
Yeah. Love that. Absolutely. But yeah, Secret Wars has been hinted at for a long time. Yeah. Like, and then they had, like, the characters, like, Iron Man, Star-Lord, I think Reed Richards, all experiencing their, like, multiple parallel universes at the same time. Like it's insane. Like, this whole storyline of, like, is it a reboot? Like, is this what we're seeing? Is it a reboot, or is it, like, a re-establishing of continuity?
It's re-establishing continuity, but it's causing a clean break, basically. Is what it's doing is it's basically saying all that still happened. We're not erasing it. It's still there.
Not like DC's New 52.
But we're not using it anymore.
Yeah.
So with that universe ending, you know, we're going to get Peter Parker and we're going to get Miles Morales, but is it going to be the same Peter Parker and the same Miles Morales? Maybe not. I mean, maybe Peter's still going to be married in the new universe. Maybe, you know, Wolverine is going to be, you know, Earth, you know, 425 universe instead of 616's Wolverine. Like, we could have a hodgepodge of universes in this new universe. Or maybe the multiverse will be rebirthed at the end. We don't know where this is going.
We don't know.
Just shy of the halfway point right now. Secret Wars is going to be 8 issues, well, 9 issues if you count the 0 in total. And then, you know, a ton of tie-ins. I've read through the majority of them. But so, with Secret Wars, you have this whole build-up. It's amazing. And pretty much the whole arc of Avengers from the beginning, there were two men, and they needed to build a machine, an Avengers machine. And they survived all these threats that needed bigger, badder teams. They survived, you know, the coming of Ex Nihilus. They survived the Abyss. They survived the map makers. They survived the builders and everything in the builder war. They stopped Thanos. They chased off his son Thane.
Yeah, and this was like another event by itself, by
exactly.
the way.
They set up all these things in front of them and everything, and then came the Beyonders, the Ivory Kings. And while this is going on, like, Doctor Strange basically just pieces out from the whole crew, and he's like, you know what, done with you guys, I'm going to go do magic.
Yeah.
And while he was doing magic, he discovered a word, and he ended up leading the, what were they called? The Whisperers, the Whispering Kings, or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was the Whispering Kings, or wasn't it the Red Kings? No, I don't know. That doesn't sound right. It's something Kings. I honestly, there's so many like moving pieces here.
Yeah, I know it was the Ivory Kings. I can't quite remember what the name of Strange's advocates are, but they've been chasing the Black Swans for a while, and the Black Swans said that they were the followers and devoted to the great destroyer, Rabba Malal. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know who Rabba Malal was until...
For a long time.
Almost the end.
Yeah. Like, what was that, 2 years? Or like a full year?
At least a full year. Yeah. If I can't remember when Rabba Malal was first mentioned by Black Swan.
I think he was mentioned before.
Like issue 15 or 20.
Yeah, before Infinity, right?
Probably a little over a year. Yeah, before Infinity,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, so it has to have been like a year and some change.
So we find out that Rabba Malal is, drumroll, Rabba Malal is not Kofi Kingston, but Victor Von Doom of Earth 616.
Technically, in this particular storyline, God.
Yes.
or higher than God.
So, Dr. Doom, he realized the exact same thing that Reed Richards did. Reed Richards realized that the accelerated death of the multiverse was occurring. And he wasn't sure why. He didn't realize that it was the Beyonders basically playing a game going, hey, you know what'd be really cool? If we, like, fucked up shit and just, like, left everything empty. Because apparently that's what you do when you have near omnipotent power. and, I mean, these are creatures where Hyperion, I can't remember his name. Hyperion, Thor, and Sun something? The Sentinel, ended up going in together, all three of them, all world beaters, just ungodly powerful monsters, fought against one of them, and barely won, and there's a whole crew of Beyonders.
Yeah, like there's like a whole race, basically, like.
Yeah, the Beyonder that they met in the original Secret Wars that had them play a game, and Doom sucked out his power and was able to become omnipotent before, like, that was a baby, they said, like. These things are unstoppable, nearly. But, so, we find out that Doom has gained basically the same level of power. And he's done this by going from universe to universe and killing the Molecule Men that live in each universe. Molecule Man is a man who can control molecules.
He's
ridiculously powerful.
Yeah, but and he's always been like sort of a low key villain. Yeah, like a crazy low key villain. Like he's never been in like big storylines, at least not to my knowledge. Like
not really.
He's always been, for a guy whose power set involves, you know, manipulating molecules, kind of a low key bad guy.
Yeah, he's like could do this, but nah.
Yeah, so Doom goes around, like you said, killing this guy, universe to universe.
Yeah, killing the same man over and over again. The weirdest serial killer ever. We'll touch on that same concept later. But this allows him to basically become into the godlike spectrum. And when the Beyonders destroyed the final universes, God Doom raised up his own universe. He struck down the Beyonders. And he opened a portal, and it was him, 616's Molecule Man, and Doctor Strange, who stood before the Beyonders, and the Beyonders said, "Who stands before thee? I, Doom, stand here." And we never saw what happened, but afterwards, apparently Doom won, because he has created his own universe that he lords over as God.
God King Doom.
God Emperor. Yeah. Yeah, so Doom has split. He's created his own world, he's shaped the world, and he has split it into 41 sectors. And for whatever reason, in, you know, his infinite wisdom, let's say, he split this universe into the 41 things, but he collected from various universes that have occurred.
Probably from the different multiverses that he killed each Molecule Man from. So that's my guess. So he, like, went to X-Men 92 universe, killed the Molecule Man there. He went to, what was it? What's that other weird universe he's got? The Hulk one.
You're talking about Greenland?
Yeah, Greenland. So he went to Greenland universe, killed the Molecule Man there. Went to Marvel Zombies, killed the Molecule Man there. Went to Age of Ultron, killed the Molecule Man there.
Yeah.
And that's why we have this weird patchwork.
That's a fairly good theory. I mean, yeah, like, some of them are events that happened in his past.
Yeah.
As well. So, I mean, it could just be him shipping and perverting. But he chose to create multiple versions of all these heroes. There are different pieces and zones of Battleworld. He's put a different person in charge of each one. He's made Maestro the ruler of one area. He's made, you know, Mr. Sinister, Nathaniel Essex, the master of another one. He had Janie Braddock in charge of another one, but Braddock, now, you know, was...
Yeah, the Braddocks are like the Lannisters of, like, their world.
I don't know about them being the Lannisters. I
mean, yeah, maybe Starks? Maybe Starks?
He was trying to betray the king, I guess.
That's kind of Lannister-y. Like, yeah. Come on.
true.
Yeah. But, tell you what.
Boltons. They flayed somebody for sure.
Listen, man, the one thing I know after reading Secret Wars 01 and 1, 2, and 3 is that Doctor Doom is the biggest Game of Thrones mark in the Marvel Universe.
Dude, because he loves sitting on that throne.
He loves A, sitting on the throne, B, ERPing with all the houses and whatever coming in and, like, being in the king's court. He has the freaking wall. Right?
He does have the wall.
He has the wall with the Night's Watch.
Sentinel above this wall.
Yeah, the wall, and, like, he's got the Thors, and Thors is kind of like a weird Night's Watch, you know? And, like, instead of... when I read that first issue, I was like, he is the biggest Game of Thrones mark that there is. Like, he has the wall.
Doom and, built the Seven Kingdoms, but he's got mass on 41. 41 kingdoms.
And I think there's a shot, there's a couple of shots that I'll have to look for them. And it just looks like there's clear Game of Thrones, like love from Doom.
You know, with the fact that he created a Valeria that is his left hand, because Doctor Strange is his right hand, is Sheriff Strange.
Before you go into that, because the Valeria and Sue Richards and all that, we have to talk about something, because I've been meaning to ask you.
Okay.
What does it mean, right? He has people that he's created, right? Like Sue Richards, right?
Because
Sue Richards died in the incursion, right? Like, we've seen her...
She was wiped out.
Of existence, right? Okay. There's people who survived what Sue went through, right? Like Reed Richards.
There are very select few who survived on two rafts. There are two rafts in existence. There is the villain raft, let's say.
With the Cabal.
Which held the Cabal and the ultimate Reed Richards.
And Miles Morales, right?
He's snuck on board, that's true.
Yeah. So Miles Morales is one of the few surviving people from the last...
From the original universe, yes.
Yeah.
So the only ones who survived and are the same as you remember are Thanos, Maximus, Namor,
Black
Proxima
Widow,
Midnight,
or Black Swan.
Proxima Midnight, Black Swan,
Miles Morales.
Yeah, Miles Morales, Reed Richards, Black Panther,
what's Star-Lord?
Was Black Widow on there? I know Star-Lord was pulled on.
No, I think Black Widow died.
I don't think Widow was on there.
Yeah, I think Widow died with Spider-Woman.
Captain America, Sam Wilson.
Yeah.
And by that I mean Captain America, who is Sam Wilson, not both of them.
Yeah, yeah. Regular Cap, Steve Rogers, died in the incursion.
Speaking of freaking Game of Thrones, man. Freaking straight up, like, Cap coming at freaking Tony like he was the goddamn Red Viper. Came at him just screaming at him. You raped my Avengers. You murdered him. Admit it.
Admit it.
Admit it.
That was like
truth. Stands on top of him and everything, and he's like, fine, I admit it. I lie. Shoots him in the face.
Yeah.
Freaking just blasts him to death, and then the two of them out.
Such a great
And like, it even had, like, a Game of Thrones, like, medieval-esque, like, monologue over them and everything. It's like, there were two men. One was life, and one was death. And one always wins. And you're all like, oh shit, you know what that's an alternative way of saying? Everything dies.
Yeah, and that was right during the incursion, right? When they were fighting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There are two planets crashing into each other. All the heroes of each universe are, like, battling each other, going, like, this is the last one. We gotta blow their fucking life away.
Yeah, like...
Two groups, a villain group and a hero group, are like, nah, son, we need to evacuate and everything. They're freaking taking off, like, into the interspace of universes.
Yeah, and everything. Like, right in the middle of the excursion.
And freaking, like, planets are colliding, and Cap is like, no, we gotta squash this.
Yeah, me, Tony, and you, since Civil War, son... You've been running your mouth.
From the beginning, you came at me. You put hard times on Steven Rogers.
Such a great, like, that's probably my favorite issue from the pre-Secret War stuff. That and the Namor and Black Panther. That betrayal on the raft, like...
the double betrayal, though.
Yeah,
double turn. Was trying to toss Black Panther, and Black Panther did it first, and he's like, no, you stay here. You're dying with this planet.
But yeah, so there's Battle World, and right now we're like...
So in Battle World, mm-hmm. that Doom has shaped, he has shaped all these different versions of people. And it makes sense that he made Valeria as his left hand.
Right.
Valeria was Valeria Von Doom. She is the child of Susan and Reed Richards, but basically the goddaughter of Victor Von Doom. She always had a strange, you know, friendship with him. He loves her, he cares about her and everything. And so he listens to her words. What I'm interested in is he made a Susan who's in love with him. I don't really recall. It was always Namor was the one who wanted Reed's wife. Like, that was Namor's, like, reason for living, is doing other people's wives. Like,
yeah.
The look on his face when he, like, did it with Emma Frost and, like, told Cyclops about it and everything like that shows that, like, he gets off on that just as much as getting with the wife in the first place. Like,
yeah.
He just really likes that. Which is shitty thing to be. Like, I'm not supporting it, but that's his heel gimmick. Like,
yeah. But this is why he's always going to be a heel, even when he's a face.
Even when he's a face, that he's
yeah.
Imperious Rexing people's faces.
Yeah.
But I don't remember Doom really being like that. Like, he was kind and compassionate to Susan, but like...
I think what this tells us is that underneath all this hatred that he had for Reed Richards really was a jealous man. Like he wanted Susan. Like maybe that's what Marvel. I mean, this is.
I don't think Doom can be boiled down quite that far, though.
Well, I mean, then how do you explain it to him creating Sue to be this like loving? I mean, I don't know. I don't know if she's his wife in this universe, honestly, but she's definitely on his dick.
I think more than him being jealous of Reed for having Susan.
Mm-hmm.
I think he more wants to be Reed.
So he
wants to live the life of Reed Richards. He wants to be the man who is the smartest in the universe.
Yes.
That family and has everything around it. He's not jealous so much as he wants to be him. He's jealous of Reed. To be Reed, not because of Susan alone, I don't
think. No, yeah. No, but I get you. I still think it's like a form of jealousy, but you're right. I don't think it's just Susan. I think it's the entirety that is Reed Richards.
Yeah.
So I get that.
And this universe he created, so the 41 pieces are, number one, Greenland, which we have discovered in the Planet Hulk series is a giant land completely made of Hulks. Just if you look at the Battleworld map, the entire top is all Greenland. So Greenland is basically like the Antarctica, but on the top. It's huge. Number two is Dystopia, which I'm not sure if we've actually seen Dystopia, but it's just off of Greenland. So it's still in the north. So I'm not sure which one that is. The third one, pretty easily explained, that's the domain of Apocalypse, ruled by En-Sabanur. Number four is Egyptia. Number five is Technopolis. Technopolis is the Armor Wars continuity. That's where Tony Stark is, he's gone through the Armor Wars. There's tons and tons of armor. Everything is very advanced there. Number six is the Valley of Doom. Wonder what's going on there. Mm-hmm. Number seven, Spider Island. It's a world where everybody has spider powers. Number eight is the Regency. I'm not certain about this, but I believe that's the world that Sinister rules over. Number nine is King James's England. That's definitely where the Braddocks are.
Yeah.
Number ten is Weird World. I don't know if you knew this. That's the one that's Weird World. They have a comic called Weird World, and it's set in Weird World. I honestly thought that was New Mars, but nope, it was Weird World. I was thrown. Number 11 is Kun Lun. Kun Lun is, I believe, the place where Master of Kung Fu miniseries takes place in.
Mm-hmm.
In which Master of Kung Fu is the son of the master there. And slayed the former holder of the title Iron Fist, and he has to face off with Iron Fist, is where we've last left off with that one.
Right.
Utopolis, I'm not sure which one that is. New Mars, Doomguard. Doomguard is where Doom has his, higher castle and everything. It's basically Asgard, Doom version.
Yeah.
Number 15, Higher Avalon. Number 16, Arachnia.
Is Higher Avalon, that's where, I know in the Thors, like, they mentioned that's where they grab the people to become Thors, right?
That's where they take them, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Arachnia, I believe that's the one in which the Spider-Verses are falling.
Mm-hmm.
Marville, I'm not sure which one that is. The Eye of Agamotto is Strange's own realm, and everything, it seems to be the one realm that's not under Doom's eye, because that's where Strange kept the ship.
Yeah, that's where he took him and, like, talked to him. He said that Doom couldn't see them there, whatever.
He took Miles and the young Thor, who was able to open the door to...
Mm-hmm.
The Eye of Agamotto, and that's when all the heroes, Captain Marvel, and so on, the original 616, came out. Doomstadt is the actual capital where Doom holds his court.
pretty nice chunk of land.
Manhattan is the interesting one.
Yeah.
Because it's...
to say the least.
But it's a split of Earth 616 and the Ultimate Earth. Yeah. So it's half and half, and we actually get to see, in Ultimate End, two Tony Starks bantering with each other as one drinks and the other one's really mad that he's drinking.
Do you not remember what happened last time we drank?
So there was a demon in that bottle. Demon in a bottle. Read that book.
And they have a Tillin in there. So, like,
New Quack City, which...
Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
The Far East, the Valley of Flame, the Hydra Empire,
which
2099,
is
which is just the future Secret Wars 2099.
Yeah.
Hallowfield, where the Captain Marvel and the Carol Corps takes place, where they're all pilots, but the planes, like, are almost as strong as Captain Marvel flying around, but, like, they don't have... I don't really get what's going on there.
Yeah, that's weird.
The Monarchy of M, the Sentinel Territories, the Wastelands, which we know is where the wandering hordes of zombies are.
Yeah, which is, again, the north of the wall, basically.
Yeah, exactly. The Walkers. Westchester, Killville, Arcadia, Bar Sinister, Limbo, the Deadlands, another area full of zombies, Perfection, New Xandar. Xandar's the home of Nova Corps.
Yeah, which is supposed to be a planet. No, is it the Shield? Or is it called the Wall? Because I've seen different versions of
it. It's called the Shield.
Okay.
Shield is their wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing that I find interesting is Perfection, number 39.
Yeah, which is right next to the wall.
South of the wall is...
And right next to the Deadlands.
I'm
so
very interested in what's going on that it's called Perfection.
Well, and not only that, but...
the terrors outside of the wall,
yeah,
that the wall protects them from, the Shield protects them from, are the hordes of the zombies, in which we saw that Jamie Braddock died down there.
Yeah.
The Annihilation Wave, which continually pounds at the wall, and the Ultron robots.
Yes.
So, is Perfection the Ultron robots?
I don't know, because New Xandar is also on the other side of the wall.
Right?
I don't understand what's going on.
Xandar being the Annihilation Wave just because it's...
Actually, now that I think about it, I'm looking at the map right now, and Limbo, like, on the far west of the world, you have Limbo, Perfection, and Deadlands all around that wall. I mean, that wall is, like, surrounded by shit. Like Limbo doesn't sound like a fun place. We know the Deadlands is not a fun place. I don't know what Perfection...
Limbo, thank you very much.
Yeah, like, I don't know what Perfection's all about, but being next to all that, I can't imagine it being, quote-unquote, perfection. And then...
Very perfect.
Yeah, and, like, 37, you know, and, like, that extends, and... what is it? Age Domain of Apocalypse is also next to that. So, again, like, it seems to be a lot of no bueno, you know? And then 38, Xandar's just sitting there in the middle, behind the wall. I don't get it. I don't understand it. So.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty interesting, and I want to see how it all lays out. I'm very much looking forward to when they release the Battle World guide that will describe each and every one of them. So now that we've laid to the pieces and we've talked about what Battle World is made up of, we're looking at how Doom shaped the world. So Doom shaped this world, and initially they said it was darkness. He did the opposite of what God in Genesis did. Like, God in Genesis was like, let's start with light. Doom started everything else and was like, we don't need light. No light here. In hell, Johnny Storm, his brother-in-law, basically,
in this universe,
betrayed them. And rather than killing him
wiping him from existence or sending him south of the Shield. He raised him to the sky, and the sun is an eternally tormented Johnny Storm. Holy shit.
Yeah. which tells you two things. Wow, God Doom, pretty baller. Two, Johnny Storm is the fucking sun? Like, what? I just thought he was, like, the flame guy. Like, I didn't think he had the power of the sun. Like,
I love the casual conversation
about
Doom has about it, though. And he's just sitting there. He's like, hey, did you hear that song? And Sue's like, what song? He's like, the one about your dead brother. I wanted you to hear it. And you're all like, why is he being a dick? And then she's like, you're so loving. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And she's talking about this, and Doom is kind of suddenly becoming a little bit more emotional, a little bit more revealed, because he takes off his mask, and we see, for the first time I can think of in ever,
I have never
the face of Doom.
I have never seen Dr. Doom.
I've seen the face of Doom in what was called Amalgam Comics.
Mm-hmm.
Doom was split with somebody, and it was just like a burn scar type thing.
Nah, yeah, like, but...
And we've seen the face of Doom when he healed it, and he had the perfect face in...
Yeah, no, that doesn't... Yeah, that doesn't count. Like this is the first time that I've seen Dr. Doom in, like, a regular... And I know this is kind of like a weird alternate reality type deal, but at the same time, this is
but
the continuity.
He is the 616 Doom.
Yeah, exactly. So this is 616 Doom, and old boy can make an entire... Like, he can patchwork realities to make a new reality, but old boy can fix a nose? Like...
Dude, it's
like,
more than nose. Like,
he
has no nose.
Yeah, like, his face is... Fuck. Like, I had never really wondered about what he looked like. I always had assumed he was just burnt. I didn't know that old boy had no nose. That threw me the fuck off. Like, I was reading that, and I was like, whoa. Like, when I read, since I read mostly digital, I don't read, like, page to page. I have the panel to panel, right? So, like, before it does the reveal and he's talking to Sue, I'm like, oh, like, this is strange. And I think she mentions the mask, right? Like, is that how they get to that?
She says that he should show his loving face to his people.
Yeah, the loving face to the people. And I'm like, are they doing the mask reveal? Like, because that would be pretty momentous. And, like, no sooner than I say that, and I hit to see the next panel, boom, white screen, full face of Dr. Doom, like, no mask. I'm like, oh, what am I looking at?
Yeah, it's pretty wicked. Yeah, Doom's face. I mean, they did originally show it in Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
Like, basically just like, he showed it to the people, and then they retold it by John Byrne, and it was just, like, the scar on the face, and they put the hot mask, like, straight onto his face, so maybe that, like, you know, burned it worse or something like that, because they kind of Iron Maidened it on there.
Right.
But, like, of a full shot where you can see the face straight on and just destroyed the way that it's meant to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it. Like, This is the definitive face of Doom that we've seen.
Yeah. And I mean, there's just like so much going on. Like, I love how crazy, I mean, this is a crazy story, right? Like, we can agree that this is like out of control. Like,
yeah, like, I mean, they're like, it's a planet that has planets inside of
universes. Yeah, it has places.
Universes inside of it. And there's just Thors of every universe flying around willy-nilly, just going to each and every one as, like, super police. And you're sitting here like, wait,
what? Like, Thors, like, are just cops now?
Yeah. Thors are basically, like foot soldiers. Like, that's literally what they are. Like, they're foot soldiers. Like,
they're so nice.
They're so less than anything compared to, like, Doom. Like, in the scope of the story. Like, Doom... The
weird thing is, like, yeah, the one got, you know, murdered by Thanos immediately, but of course it got murdered by Thanos immediately.
It's freaking Thanos.
Thor is, like, we're looking at them, and they have the power of Thor. Like, they are legit.
So we know how we got here. Like, we know how we got here. We are halfway. Issue 4 comes out, what, next week?
Yes.
Okay. So we're obviously there. Let me double check. Actually, I didn't see it.
I don't think it was on that.
No, I didn't see it. Although today is Tuesday, but I didn't see it.
That's what I meant. Was like at midnight.
Oh, okay. So we know how we got here. We know what has happened. Like, why this all happened, because of, you know, the universes were breaking down because of all the time travel and the messing with the fabric of time and reality. We get it.
Goddamn.
We now have the battle world. Doom is supreme. This is Doom's world. He essentially saved us in a weird way. Like, he saved us by creating us. Like, it's too complicated.
Well,
like,
he saved them by creating them and creating his own planet. He didn't mean for it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But when Strange said what he did, that, like, for him, and he's, like, experienced everything. He remembers the past universe.
Yeah, Doom.
It's been 5 years? Is that what he said?
Yeah. I want to know, like, when this is all, like, said and done.
Like, 5 years of time has passed that they were in suspended animation. If Doom hadn't created a new planet, the freaking arcs that the Cabal and the heroes are on would have never landed anywhere, because there would have been nothing to land on.
Exactly.
No life.
Yeah. So Doom effectively.
Is the hero. Like, yeah. No Doom. No matter what, he is the hero of the story, and so, I think the gravity of this situation means we will. I don't want to say never, but we will not see Doctor Doom in a Marvel comic for at least 2 years. When the new universe begins.
Okay, so that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Now we have the players. Now we have the players of the story, because issues 1 and 2 and a little bit of 3 was like world building, and, you know, we were trying to see what happened after the excursions and explosions and all that. So we have the players. We have Wrath 1, the Ultimate Universe Wrath with the 616 people, the Cabal, Reed Richards on that one, young Reed Richards. And Miles Morales. And then we have the good guy, quote-unquote, Wrath from 616 that has Mr. Fantastic, Captain Marvel, Star-Lord, Cyclops. Oh, shit. We forgot. Cyclops has the Phoenix.
Cyclops is the Phoenix.
Cyclops is the Phoenix. Oh, my God. How could I forget that? So, the players are assembled.
Thor.
What do you think Thor... Do we have Thor?
Jane Foster Thor. She's on.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We got Jane Foster Thor. You're right. So, what do you think, because honestly, this has been killing me. We know all the comics that are coming out in the future here soon. Like, we know of the Old Man Logan. We know of, like, the X-23 is going to become the new Wolverine. We know the Avengers. Like, this isn't a spoiler by any stretch of the imagination. This new comic book they released, the all new, all different Avengers. And the lineup was Miles Morales as Spider-Man, Kamala Khan, Ms. Marvel, Jane Foster, spoilery, as Thor, Iron Man, which we know it's Tony, right? Like, is that confirmed?
It is confirmed that it is Tony Stark, but, okay. Like, he's a younger Tony Stark.
Right, and apparently the Tony Stark money machine is not quite what it is with this Tony Stark. Like, that's in the comic.
I think the Tony Stark money machine is the Peter Parker money machine, from what we've seen. Announced.
So what I want to know, because and Sam Wilson as Captain America. Yeah. So
Sam Wilson. Sam Alexander is Nova, son.
Sorry.
Nova.
Captain America is what I was talking about. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
So what I want to know now that we have these pieces, do you have any theory of what is going to happen to this battle world and Doctor Doom that's going to make it so that we go back to regular universes? Because we know that the battle world doesn't exist in the new Marvel continuity. This battle world thing is going to be done. Like that has to be the way it goes, right?
There has to be a moment where battle world lives up to its name.
Right.
And Doom is going to be removed from the equation. Because we know if you walk in issue one, Doom's the villain.
Mm-hmm.
Booking 101 says issue 8, different final boss.
Right.
Somebody's got a Necron in there and change the ending type thing.
So my money right now is on Thanos. I don't know why.
That Thanos will be the final villain?
I think Thanos is gonna... can you imagine Thanos being okay with this?
Yeah,
this whole thing.
We've seen him too much from the beginning that he's walking in. I have a feeling that the Beyonders aren't as dead as Doom would have us believe.
So you think the Beyonders are still around?
I think the Beyonders are still around, and they're
now
going to come out, and they're going to break down walls.
What do you think is going to happen with Richards? Both of them. I don't like having good guy, adult Reed Richards and bad guy, young Reed Richards in the same universe. Like, this scares the shit out of me.
I want them to meet and have a dialogue.
Shit.
And I really, really want Doom to murder the evil Reed Richards, like, just out of disgust, and then be defeated by the only man who's ever defeated 616, Reed Richards. Like, that's gotta happen.
So,
but
Reed Richards for God Emperor?
I don't think he'll become God Emperor. I don't know if he'll have the option and Space Dandy out of it.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
But there's going to be something where Reed Richards has to bring about his fall. And whether it's the Beyonders or some other creature that becomes, like, kind of the final villain before the universes break apart. But I think the planet Doom made is, in fact, the one that we're going to live on in the future going forward. That it's just
reshaped. So you're saying
it's going to reshape into the America, and South America, Africa, shape of the world again. Like, it's going to reshape. It's because what we have right now is like a Pangea looking thing. Like there's very little like island nation going on with all this.
Yeah. So you think when this is all said and done, Battle World's going to revert to, like, an Earth of sorts?
Yeah, it's definitely going to, because they always need to tell New York and
mm-hmm.
Texas and Japan and whatever. It's definitely going to revert to that. But I think it's going to break apart, and there's going to be a point where, like I said, Battleworld lives to its name.
Mm-hmm.
That Battleworld is going to have things clash, that the Captain Marvels are going to fight, and there will be one Captain Marvel who emerges from one of the universes, whether it's the Carol Corps Captain Marvel, whether it's the A-Force Captain Marvel, I'm not sure.
I think we sort of know who all is going to survive certain things, like X-23 is obviously surviving, you know, like Spider-Man obviously surviving.
Everyone's going to survive, but which universe? Like, we've been told that it's the old man Logan universe that's going to survive, because clearly Logan is dead. Like, 616 Wolverine doesn't exist. He's dead.
Yeah, but old man Logan,
at some point in the Marvel 616 Manhattan, they have the, you know, adamantium encased body of Wolverine, and he comes back to life somehow. That's not going to happen. But we don't know which universe set that Doom has created, and what characters living on are going to be the ones that were given life by Doom, and I would assume that every single character that made it from 616 on the raft isn't going to survive either. I highly doubt that the Cyclops that we have known all this time that now has the Phoenix Force is going to survive.
Well, yeah, because isn't there already, like, a X-Men comic that's all the young X-Men? And which is probably why they were brought back like this. Do you think this was the end game for Marvel when they brought back the young X-Men to our timeline so that
again, they could... They're dead?
Well, they're dead, but they're...
The arc. But,
yeah, true.
But their Doom-created version is good.
Yeah.
And so... I'm just talking, like, which ones are going to be Doom-created, which Doom-created version is it going to be? Because we have a really exciting thing that we can have, you know, 2099, you know, Scorpion is the new Scorpion that's going to be the de facto, and we can have, you know, Spider-Man Noir or something, like, all set up. I mean, we already know that all of the Spider-Verse characters are going to survive, and they're going to become the Web Warriors.
Yeah, and we also know that there's going to be a 2099 comic, which it, this could go either way. Like, this either gives credence to your theory that Doom is going to create, like, our Earth again, and, like, everything's going to go back to sort of the way it was before, or we are going to still be in the battle world, and the 2099 story is going to be told in that series. Because, like, it's strange to me that they would do this, like, the whole mashing of all the multiverses and whatever, and then say, oh, after Battleworld, we're going to have a 2099 comic series. Like, what?
Well, like, 2099 is just the future. Like,
yeah, but still, though, like, it's still, like, an alternative thing, right?
They had that back then, too. Like,
fair, fair.
It just seems funny that, I mean, in 1995... when they first began the 2099 thing,
yeah,
it was like, yeah, 2099, like 104 years away.
Yeah, now it's like, wait.
But now it's like, 2099, it feels so close. Like, I know it's far as hell away. Like,
70 years or so,
I
you know?
Probably will not be alive in 2099.
Shit. If I'm not alive, I want my money back if I'm not alive by then.
If you're not alive?
Yeah.
What do you... Are you on board with that, like, becoming a robot thing or something?
No. Like, I'm expecting a hobbit age.
Dude,
you know, like,
you are
like...
old now. The 2099. I'm sorry.
Nice.
Better wish on them Dragon Balls.
Dragon Balls.
Hey, how come Dragon Ball's not one of the alternate universes Doom created?
You know what? I want to know...
Because if I was Doom, that would have been the first one.
Listen, man, what I want to know... This is called Secret Wars, and I know Star Wars is part of the Marvel Universe now. So where the fuck...
That's
where,
how it ends.
Where the fuck is my Tatooine, nigga?
That's how it ends. The final like, villain. Emperor Palpatine.
The Force.
And then he's going to be like, Thanos.
The Force. Oh my god.
There's much darkness within you. Draft you into the altar.
Actually, Swerve, Emperor Palpatine turns Doom to the dark side again. Darth Doom.
Darth Doom.
Sell it.
He's like, I love people who put on...
He wears the same outfit, but dark. It's got red glow, red lightsaber. You're welcome, Marvel. Exactly. There is only Doom, and there's only the Force. Actually, now that I think about it, Doom and Vader, not that different, like, thematically, like,
I think that's what happened. I honestly do. Now I'm sold on it, that the final villain is going to be evil Luke Skywalker.
Oh my god, what?
Yep.
Jesus. Evil Skywalker, that's scary. I never noticed, but Skywalker's kind of a big deal.
And not as big of a deal as the Starkillers. Not yet.
Oh my god. But yeah.
Clarity. But yeah, Secret War is out of control. There's so much going on in there. There's so many things to build up.
So many tie-ins.
We don't know which ones are going to survive. Like, I mark out, like, we've already confirmed that we're going to have, like, old Cap in the new universe when we come in.
With the young Cap, like...
Wait, you mean with Sam Wilson Cap, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, there's
sorry,
not like
sorry.
A young version of Steve Rogers.
Although...
Steve Rogers will be the elderly Steve Rogers, is what we've been shown. I am really, really sad that we're not going to get... maybe we will. I need more adventures of, like, Savage Land, Devil Dinosaur, and Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
I love their adventures with Planet Hulk. I need more of that now.
Yeah, there's, again, you know, let's not cry over spilled milk, because we don't know, like, what all is going to happen. I mean, we really don't.
And, I mean, it could totally Super Mario us. We could go all the way to the end, and then everything ends again. And then some godlike creature can create a new galaxy and welcome, woo, galaxy! Woohoo!
Nice.
It's a Victor Von Doom.
Isn't there, like, oh my god, isn't there that AVX chibi tie-in? Isn't that a thing anyway?
Yeah.
There you go.
That's the new Marvel Universe.
Oh,
you took Bucky Bear.
Let's not. But. What was the thing? I have something, and I swear it's gone now. Like, I was thinking of something about this whole Secret Wars and what's happening. It's gone. It's completely gone. I forgot.
I lost it.
I completely lost it.
Well, like, it makes sense that you lost it, because everything ends. You. Me. Everything. If you like our podcast, you can always keep up with our podcast episodes on the Cyan Rican Podomatic homepage, cyanrican.podomatic.com. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. You can also attach our episodes on iTunes. We have a blog that keeps up with the newest movies, games, TV, comics, and also UFC live blogs, sometimes, at cyanrican.blogspot.com. You can even follow us on Twitter. I'm at cyanaflame.
And I'm at strawhead Rican.
So ask any questions or give any comments if you'd like.